The reading today comes from John chapter 1. It's on page 1509 in the Pew Bibles, V1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me and become what was before me.' Out of this fullness we have received grace in the place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but only the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Thanks, Aaron. Well, today we do kick off our new series in the book of John. We're looking at the first three chapters, working our way through, looking at sort of the Lord Jesus, who is the Word. It's a bit of a spoiler alert. And so the series is called In Him Was Life. You will have noticed that line in that sort of Bible reading. There's a lot in this passage. I can't cover everything, unfortunately, but hopefully I'll be able to help us see the sort of broad brushstrokes of what God is speaking through this passage. And so why don't we pray that God would indeed show us himself through this passage. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for your word. Thank you for that word, that he is the full and final communication from you. Thank you that he shows us clearly who you are and what you are like, and he helps us know you. And so we pray that we would know you through this passage, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, a little while ago now, I was listening to a podcast and they were interviewing young women about their lives and in particular their social media usage. And one of the young women that was interviewed talked about her struggles with anxiety, particularly around social media. She'd become absorbed by trying to carefully curate her social media persona, her presence, to try and show just how interesting and fun a person she was. She confessed that there were times when, as she was planning her day, the sole decision-making criteria that she used to work out what she was going to do was what would photograph well. What would show the world that she's an interesting, cultured person? And as she was reflecting on this, she reflected that it was exhausting, frankly, constantly worrying about what other people thought about her, constantly trying to create this sort of perception of what she was like. You see, she'd come to find her sense of meaning and value, her sense of purpose, in the number of likes or comments she got. Can you relate to that? Maybe for you, it's not your social media presence. Maybe you're pursuing a sense of meaning and value and purpose from your parenting, from your kids. Maybe for you, it's a political cause that you've sort of got on board. Maybe the thing that defines you is your career, your business success, maybe a hobby. What is it for you? What is it that you're pursuing in life to give your life meaning and value and purpose? I think it's a really helpful question for us to be asking ourselves, because where we pursue meaning and value will shape so much of our life. I actually think God's designed us to pursue meaning and value. That's part of what it means to be human. The trouble is, so often we try and find our ultimate value and purpose in the wrong places, in things that shift and change and let us down and leave us exhausted like that young woman from that podcast trying to chase them. Well, sometimes we just try and find meaning and value in things that are just thin, that don't ever quite satisfy or last. Do you ever wonder if there was any way you could find a sense of meaning and value as a person in something that didn't constantly change on you, that didn't let you down, that was actually satisfying and meaningful? I know I do. And beautifully in this passage, this is exactly what John wants to show us. He wants to introduce us to the one who made us. Because in making us, he's already given us meaning and value and purpose. And so if that's something that you're interested in, let's look at who John points us to in this passage. Let's jump in. The first thing we see is that John wants to introduce us to our Creator, the one who began us and began all things, and in doing so is ultimately the one who can give us permanent value. Let's jump into verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. John begins his entire account of the Lord Jesus by taking us back to the beginning. Not just the beginning of Jesus' story, but the beginning of the entire cosmos. And he introduces us to the Word, which sounds weird to us, right? This is a weird way to start for a sort of 21st century Aussies. But in the Bible, words were how God created the world, the universe. In Genesis, the first book of the Bible, God speaks words and creation just springs into existence. Words were how God communicated with his people. Words were what he used to save his people, to teach his people, and later on to judge his people. And so John is speaking to people familiar with just how powerful the word of the Lord was. And now he's saying, guess what? I want to introduce you to the supreme expression of God's communicating power. I want to introduce you to the Word, the one who creates, the one who saves, the one who makes the Father known. I'm going to introduce you to the Word. And this person, the Word, was with God, distinct from God the Father, and yet he was God himself. Now, this is massive in the history of Christianity, right? John is introducing us to a person who was with God all the way back in the beginning, distinct from God the Father, and yet God himself. That's who he wants us to meet in this book that he's written. But in case you're wondering, what on earth does this have to do with me? he gets to that part next. The Word is the beginning of all things, including you and me. We see this from verse 3. Through him, that is the Word, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. This Word is the one through whom everything was made. And just to make sure we get it, do you notice he repeats it in the opposite way? Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The Word is the beginning. He's the source. He's the origin of the cosmos, including you and me. We owe our very existence to this Word. He makes this crystal clear for us in verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In this Word that John is wanting to introduce us to is life in himself. He's wanting us to see that this Word isn't dependent on anything outside of himself for his existence. He is completely and perfectly self-sufficient. And because he is, it means that he can be the source of life for humanity. He's the light of life, John says. Just like plants can't exist without the light from the sun, so everything is dependent on the light of this Word. He's the light of life. And John tells us, into the darkness of this world, the Word has come. The darkness hasn't overcome it. Now, I suspect all of us have recently gained a much deeper appreciation for the electricity that powers our homes, and more importantly, our air conditioners at this time of year. For some, it's probably too soon to be talking about this, but it's interesting, isn't it? Most of the time, we just take electricity for granted. It's just everywhere. It's very accessible. Yet take it away, and we discover just how dependent we are on it, and just how difficult and uncomfortable life is without it. I think this is what John is wanting to do for us this morning. He's wanting to help us consider not just where our air conditioners get their power from. He wants us to consider, where do we get our power from? Where do we get our life from? What's the ultimate source and origin of our life? Because just like air conditioners, we too are utterly dependent on something outside of ourselves. As much as we like to think of ourselves as self-sufficient, we're actually not. We're dependent on this Word for our entire life. And John is going to spend the rest of the gospel trying to flesh that out and show us why that's a good thing. But it's worth pausing now and considering just the implications for us of that one fact. I think the lie of our current cultural moment is that we need to create our own identities. With sort of the loss of God and the loss of any transcendent meaning, we're basically forced back to become our own gods, to create our own sense of meaning and purpose in life. And the world gives us a million and one ways to do that. We can try and create for ourselves meaning and value by, as I mentioned earlier, joining a social or a political cause. We can try and pursue meaning and value by sort of fighting the good fight. We can try and create that for ourselves by working on ourselves, building ourselves up, trying to be a more productive human being, a more healthy human being, a more successful human being. Or we can try and pursue our meaning and value in our sexuality, or in a relationship, or in pursuing being loved by a particular person. Or we can simply just try and buy a sense of meaning and value with the latest fashion or cars or houses. The list is endless. The trouble with this is that if we try and pursue our ultimate meaning and value in these things, they're too fragile to hold up under the weight of it. These things change, trends change, politics shift, companies downsize. Or we're just too plain weak in ourselves. And if the anxiety epidemic is anything to go by, I think our current project of trying to create our own sense of meaning and value, it's failing. But the good news is we don't have to go down with the ship. Because John here in this passage is showing us we don't need to be our own creators. We don't have to try and create for ourselves a sense of meaning and value. We've already got a creator who has already given us meaning and value by creating us in his image. We have dignity and value because he's given it to us in making us his. We don't have value because of how productive we are as a person. We don't have to look to our value in possessions or in how much people love us. We have value because he made us. He imparted to us his life. You know the beautiful thing about that? We can't screw that up. No matter how weak we are, no matter what happens, you and I are valuable. Your and my life has value and meaning because we were made to have it by this word that John is introducing us to. So if you ever find yourself feeling worthless or valueless as a person, can I encourage you, look to the word. Look to your creator. Because he has given you value already. You have value to him as his creature. In fact, we all do. And no one can take that away from us. But for those who believe in his word, believe in this word, he actually gives a great purpose as well. Or maybe more accurately, he restores to us the purpose that we were made to have. And this is where he turns next. Because as we keep reading, we discover that this word that John wants us to know, he restores to us our true purpose. That is to know God, to be his sons and daughters, and to live for him. Let's pick it up from verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. After telling us just who this word is, the creator and source of life, he now turns to tell us what he came to do. Our creator has stepped down into the world he'd made. But did you notice, into a situation where his own creatures didn't even recognize him? And worse, didn't receive him. And we'll see this play out in the rest of John's account. This, in the Bible, is the terrible disconnect that sin brought into the world. Our first parents, they turned away from God. And in doing so, they created a rift between God and the rest of humanity. God's creatures, seeking freedom and sort of self-autonomy, they unplugged themselves from the source of life, which turned out to be as successful as a toaster throwing itself off the bench to try and escape the PowerPoint. And yet this is precisely the disconnect that the Word came to fix. We see this from verse 12. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. To those who received this word, he gave the right to become children of God. This is what humanity, you and I, were made for. This is what we were made to be, but we rejected it. Yet this word, the one that John is going to be spending the rest of this book showing us, he can restore us. He can make us children of God again. He's the way back to our Heavenly Father. And John unpacks exactly how he does this in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This Word became flesh. This Word who was with God and was God became human without ceasing to be God. And he came to live with us. This makes him perfectly able to bridge the gap between God and humanity. Right? He's the eternal Son of God. He's in an intimate relationship with the Father. But now he's taken on humanity as well. He intimately knows us too. And because of that, he can make God known to us. We see this in verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. This Word took on flesh. He's God the Son. And because of that, he can make his Father known. He hasn't unpacked all of the details and how he does this yet, but he will as his gospel unfolds. But for now, he shows us that Jesus, the Word, is perfectly suited to restore that which was lost at the fall. He's able to bridge the gap between God the Father and us. He's able to make his Father known to us. At the moment, we've got this adolescent magpie living in and around our yard. Unfortunately, it must have fallen out of its nest or something when it was a baby because it's got this broken wing that sort of just hangs limply, and so it can't fly or anything. We've nicknamed it Nemo. But surprisingly, it has lasted. It just keeps going, right? It makes do. It can't fly, but it can walk, and so it's just really good at finding worms and stuff on the ground, it seems. It even survived the cyclone. We thought that might have sort of knocked it on its head. But no, there was Nemo sort of Friday morning after the cyclone wandering around looking for worms again. Now, it's able to scrounge enough to survive, but it's pretty sad watching it. Like, whereas all the other magpies are flying around, it's sort of stuck on the ground. If only something could be done to restore its wing, but I think it's a bit too far gone. But what this passage is showing us is that we're kind of like Nemo. We were made to know the Father and live as his children, yet we fell from that. And ever since, we've been trying to create our own sense of purpose by scrounging around on the ground. Yet this Word, which, spoiler alert, is the Lord Jesus, he took on flesh, John tells us, to restore to us what we lost. When we believe in his name, John tells us, he makes his Father known to us. He makes us his sons and daughters. He makes us sons and daughters of God. In a sense, he gives us back our wings to fly again. Knowing God and living as his children is what we were made for. This is the purpose that we were created to inhabit. Which means for us that we don't have to try and create or discover our own sense of purpose in life. We've already got one. And if we believe in the Lord Jesus and seek to live as sons and daughters of God, we'll discover that this is actually the most lastingly satisfying way to live. Now, it's not always easy. I mean, we are still, after all, in a fallen world. We will still have to face all the pain and suffering that goes along with that. But despite all of that, being in a deep, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father and living as His children is absolutely the best use of our lives. It is absolutely the most satisfying thing that we can do. And unlike anything else that we might try and find our purpose in, this will actually last. This won't let us down. And it will continue into eternity. John has started big in this account. He wants us to see the Word, the Lord Jesus, is in fact our Creator. He's the final and most complete communication of God. And He can restore us to relationship with His Father and make us sons and daughters of God. What better place could we possibly find value and meaning and purpose in life than in Him? So let's pray that we would. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You for the Word, Your Son, the Lord Jesus, who took on flesh to make You known to us and to make us Your sons and daughters. Lord God, we thank You that we don't need to try and scrounge around finding our own meaning and value and purpose in life, because You've given us ultimate meaning and value by making us Yours. And so, Lord God, we ask that You would help us rest in that and live that out and discover how satisfying that is. And we pray these things for Your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.